Undesirable character.
Ready to go to work, gentlemen?
Yes.
Well, good morning. Actually, good afternoon and welcome. At this point, I'd like to call this meeting to order. And for the purposes of a quorum, I am Richard Ball, Commissioner of the Department of Ag and Markets. I'm joined by board members Peter Argena and Mike Kimmelman.
Welcome.
Thank you. And a quorum being present, we can call the meeting to order. And our first order of business is to designate one of us as presiding officer. And I have a motion to do so.
I make a motion to nominate Commissioner Richard Ball.
I'll second that.
All right, motion and a second. Thank you so much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. So carried. Thank you. A couple of remarks. In addition to the members that are present, Ron Oprim is here. He's serving as, I guess, acting director?
Acting director, yes, sir.
The New York Horse Breeding Development Fund, and also is Mark Stewart here? There's Mark. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We're also joined by Connie Richardson. Hi, Connie.
Hi.
Brian is somewhere in the room. There's Brian.
How are you, Brian?
Thank you. Who provides staff to support the fund, and also with me today is Jackie Moody Sub, Deputy Commissioner of Ag and Markets. You guys had a very busy month. Hey, Tracy, how are you? And Betty, good to see you. I would also like to note that we completed the Sire Stakes Night of Champions at Yonkers with the three-year-olds on September 12th and the two-year-olds on the 26th. Pretty good show, I understand.
A little rainy the first night.
Yeah, a little rain. All right, next item on our agenda is to approve the minutes. They are in front of you. Does everybody have a copy? Any comments? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes? And that was from July 30th, 2015.
I'll make a motion to approve.
And I second it.
Thank you both. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, so carried. Our 2015 budget included funding for the Breeders Awards, and when we approved that budget last year, we approved a range with a minimum of $700,000 for the Breeders Award, but also indicated that we could provide up to $950,000 if the budget so permitted. And given the completion of the Sire Stakes program and the fact that we have a surplus of more than $200,000, would you consider affirmatively approving Breeders Awards at $950,000 for 2015?
I would.
Peter?
Yes.
Okay, we'll need a motion for that.
I'll make a motion to approve the Breeders Awards at $950,000.
Okay.
And I second it.
That will not decrease our surplus for the current year. We've got Mike and Peter. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed. Seems to be and is carried. Our next item, 2016 budget. Budget will probably be very similar to last year with one noteworthy change regarding the total funding for the Sire Stakes. If we can, it would be good to approve the budget in our next meeting, get into the harness horse breeding contract for administrative services for the fund at that time. It would be also good for the entities that have received grants this year, as well as any that would like to apply for a grant, to be prepared to present their grant requests at our next meeting. This proposed budget includes $130,000 in grant funding for 2016, so we know what we have to work with. But we need to have a budget in place so we have some hard numbers so we know what we're accepting grants for. So with that, Brian, can you present the budget to us?
Yeah, the 2016 budget I have right now, revenue equals expenses. $16,263,000 is what I have for 2016. Now last year we budgeted $16,063,000. So it's a slight increase. But again, you know, sometimes with the revenue, we go a little conservative. Right now, again, we budgeted $16 million, and I think, you know, where the year's going, we're probably going to end up more like $16.3 or so. So, you know, we're going to be a little bit ahead of the budget there. But this looking at the 2015 budget, like I said, right now we're showing a surplus of $226,000. Given the numbers we have for the end of the year, that I think that's really conservative. I think we may show a greater profit than that at this time, you know, given our numbers. Just that's, you know, again, that's where we're at right now is how it's presented. 2016 budget, we did up the Excelsior races to 3.6 from 3.4. And when I did the budget and balancing it and doing everything, I mean, I had the Breeders' Awards number for 2016 at 900,000. I had thought we said 2015 we were really going to bump it up, and we did. So I backed it down a little. You know, so there's room to play with if we want to, you know, keep it at the 950. But, you know, in balancing it, that was the number I had come up with, was 900,000. So those are the only real changes, you know, looking at the purse schedule. 2016, 2015. But the money's been pretty good. When you look at the 10 months of VLTs, 2015 to 2014, we're actually about 230,000 greater on the 2015 side. So right now, the money we're seeing from the tracks and the OTBs, if you compare 2014 to 15, is actually a little higher than 2014. So, I mean, that's good that the money is up there, because wagering has decreased, as we know, with everything else going on there. So, and again, my 2015 budget, it does include $950,000 for the Breeders' Award, so we certainly have enough money to cover that.
Okay. If we could leave that at 950, put it, you know, right now it's at 900. If we put it back to 950, so it's the same. Mm-hmm. But you said we might have 300,000.
Yeah.
15. So would you feel safer if we even took another 50 out of that and applied it and say call the Breeders' Awards $1 million? Would that hurt us any?
I think my numbers on the revenue side, you know, I try to go a little conservative. And right now, you know, what I've been forecasting the last couple of years, you know, we've been getting more,
good,
which is good.
Good. Well, yeah, that's what you want.
And I think same way. I'm showing 16.2. You know, if everything holds as it's holding, you know, we should be there maybe a little more. So, yeah, we may have some more room to play with there.
Because I know in some of our harness horse breeders meetings, I know a lot of them want to see more breeders awards and stuff. And, a lot, you know, people keep saying we need to bump. But I say if we could keep it at 950, it would be nice. A million looks better, which is only another 50,000. But
for sure. Next year.
Yeah, for next year. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that, you know, in relation to that, when we talk about our horse population shrinking and things like destroying the good horses that we have, but also we are creating a lot of very good horses. We've made the economics of it have changed where the moms and pops don't necessarily feel comfortable breeding 7 or 8 or 10 mares that they're going to get destroyed with. And I think a lot of them have, you know, some have disappeared, but some have scaled back and tried to increase quality versus quantity, and still have a chance to chase the carrot that are these purses, as opposed to before, finding they were just creating horses and have a hard time competing at overnight track. So I think that the Breeders' Awards, I think we have to do a better job this year advertising it, whether that be through our office or through the Harness Horse Breeders' Office. It's an attractive carrot. And
sure.
And at full residency, people are going to be getting paid a lot of money, much more than they're used to getting, and some people are going to get zero. Some of the people that have been from out of state may be getting maybe a little more than they should from not participating inside the borders of the state of New York. You know, if they don't change what they're doing and come to New York for 180 days, they're not going to get any Breeders' Awards, but the benefactors, I mean, people that are here, are going to get a lot more, and we have to get that message across. It's a lot of money we're putting out there. It's a huge bump from last year. But when the foals of 2015 start to race in 2017, it'll be an awkward year because half of them will get paid 50% residency, half of them will get paid full residency. It's going to be a big difference to those people, and we should I think, you know, like we talked, if we could get an advertisement together that shows maybe 14, 15, and what 15 would have looked like as applied to, I think it'll tell a very good story in trying to get people to breed in New York this year and keep their horses in New York, which is really our objective.
So right now the budget shows 900,000.
Right now it's at 900,000. Like I said, I mean, that's the number that I had in there and balancing it with all my other numbers. There's certainly more money to play with on the revenue side. On the expense side, I got it kind of tight from what I have it in there. I know we had 100,000 for Manlin last year. It's in there again for this year. I don't know what's the reality of that is.
You can do a band like you did last year.
Yeah, we kind of, but I was kind of, I mean, if we want to stay at 950 or something, mm-hmm. what I'd like to do is, this year we kind of had to wait to this meeting. We could have had the Breeders' Awards out to these guys like a couple months ago.
Right.
And sure. They could have used maybe that money to help, you know, buy horses at the sales or whatever. So if we could, you know, if we have to wait till November again to reapprove the money, I'd rather have it where we're locked in at a certain price and once the Sire Stakes program is ended at the end of the September, we could get these all out and get the checks cut to these people so you wouldn't have to come back and say, well, let's add another 50,000 or something to it. I mean, I feel confident 950. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
If Mike's, you know.
Yeah, I have no problem as long as you don't think we need a provision if there's an active negative VLT, whatever.
Yeah. I think we're in good shape because we're in good shape. We're at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and
we are.
And I don't see anything happening between now and next June. I mean, there's thank God there's no casinos opening up between now and
true.
You know,
true.
To kill us.
We mentioned the good PR thing. We have a good story to tell, but I think the great story to tell is that we exceeded expectations.
Right.
You know, the thing is, can we have this meeting not in November next year, but in, you know, as soon as the first part of October, as soon as the Sire Stakes. Then you could come out and say, you know, yeah. We had a conservative budget, but we exceeded our expectations. That's great news.
But it's hard. It's hard to have a meeting when in October you got Lexington and the Harrisburg company. I mean, it's
the only way we could do it would be, you know, for me, is, you know, probably between the 15th and the 25th of October each year, because, like you say, it's like Groundhog Day. You keep knowing where you're going to be every year, just yeah. where the business drags you. So, and of course, this year, without having, you know, enough people for quorum, I couldn't even call in from Harrisburg. So that really didn't help anybody. Yeah. I don't want to be in a position where I'm holding everybody back.
And since we're only three people,
right.
You know. But I mean, it's you know, I just like to get it where this next year we can try to get, you know, or try to have a meeting if we need to change it or report it at 950 and mm-hmm. say that's where we go.
Realistically, we're going to know, like you say, in June what our collective funds are.
Exactly.
So
the only thing
we'll
will
know
be
the
is,
money we have.
Yeah, the only guesswork in the whole thing is if we have more Excelsiors than anticipated. This year we went over our estimate by a couple hundred thousand.
And then we bumped it up this year.
We bumped it up this year, so we should be, you know, somewhat covered there. So, I mean, you know, I'm confident at 950, you know.
What do you think, Brent?
I think the 950 would be fine. I think it's better to put it
okay,
in.
Okay, I'll go back.
This way we can, you know, let's go in hard at 950. I know a lot of people last night, you know, said, geez, can we get more Breeders' Awards? They said, well, we're at 950 this year. And he said, oh, we were at 700,000 last year. So they, you know, I said, I'm trying to keep it around the 950, the $1 million mark as, you know, best we can. So they were happy about that last night at the awards dinner,
okay.
People I talked to. So if we can go back and say, well, it's in there for 950, at least we didn't cut it back or whatever, you know.
Well, let me revisit this with that going 950. Let me see what I can do as far as we can make that work one way or another.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right.
I mean, like we said, we had money, extra money in that that 300,000 we were just talking about earlier. So,
yeah, so we had extra money there. You know, the fact that, you know, we didn't do mail-in is extra money.
Yeah,
and we didn't have the executive director that saved over $100,000 there. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just a lot of positive things
right.
that benefited the fund for sure. So,
okay. Are there any other things we want to look at in the budget before we approve it?
Only other than we still are talking, well, that's on our next agenda, about the $100,000 for last year, but we also got $100,000 in for 16 in here.
We do.
We really got $200,000.
I put $200,000 in there, correct?
Okay. That's all. No, I'm good.
I just kept it the same. I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know the reality of it, but I said, I'm going to put it in there.
That's one of our next items.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we need an official motion and an official second.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the 2016 budget.
With the one change.
With the one change of adding $50,000.
Again, I'll have to go back and revisit and revise it to the 950, and I'll go through all my numbers again, and we'll see what we need to do to make that happen, so.
Duly noted at 950.
Okay.
Do we make the motion?
All right, Peter made the motion.
I will second the motion.
Mike seconded the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Seems to be carried. That being said, we have a budget. We will consider several items at our next meeting, including the HHB contract, as well as the conditions for Sire Stakes. We'll save that for that time. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we would hope to receive all the grant requests by our next meeting. So anyone is interested in your organizations that you have to work with, have that request to the fund by December 1st. So that we can consider it in time. We've got about $130,000, which we've allocated each year to consider that. Correct?
Yep. That's true.
Okay. Moving right along, item six, out of competition testing. Peter, you asked that we discuss this testing for 25 and 2016. We had discussed in the past the need for additional drug testing for both the county fairs and the Sire Stakes racing programs at our last meeting back in July. Currently, the fund has a contract with New York Drug Testing and Research Program to conduct testing for the non-paramutual racing, specifically at the county fairs. However, you had advocated for additional testing. We discussed the process with representatives of New York Drug Testing and Research Program, and it was noted they could conduct specific testing on additional samples collecting beyond what the Gaming Commission collects. So in October of last year, the fund members, we all discussed such testing and approved an additional $100,000 allocation, which was included in the fund's 2015 budget for out-of-competition testing. The program was discussed and proposed by Dr. George Malin, Director of New York Drug Testing and Research Program at Morrisville. And he suggested a specific initial testing program for the fund of $25,000. This was to include a research component that specifically would examine new suspected drugs that may be used and determine protocols for such testing to determine their presence. At that time, the board considered a motion to allow fund staff to enter into a contract not to exceed that $25,000 with the drug testing program to provide the research and testing on specific drugs, and that was unanimously approved in July. However, Dr. Malin would not consent to signing the agreement until Gaming Commission was able to complete its drug testing contract with the lab, which got final approval in mid-September. As a result, while the members have approved $25,000 at our last meeting for the specific drug testing, the contract was not signed. And Peter, you wanted to bring this back to us for discussion. Specifically, we need to talk about what we want to do for 2015, since additional blood samples were collected. And what are we going to do for next year?
Well, we'll start with 2015. The blood samples that we collected were collected on race day in the paddock about an hour, hour and a half before post time. So they weren't really out of competition blood drawn. What we were going to do is try to take that blood and use it for the research of the $25,000, but since the contracts didn't get done as you stated, and I had a meeting with Dr. Malin last Tuesday, and what we decided, the $25,000 really wouldn't be worth going and taking that blood since it's been sitting in the freezer since the summer. And we have $100,000 in there. Our program's over with. What I would like to do, and Dr. Malin would like to do, and I've talked to Ron on this a little bit with gaming, is we'd like to take the $100,000 for 2015, and we still got more talks with Dr. Malin, but I'd like to put that $100,000 into research. And the research to test, to find more drugs that are on the market, like they just found here last week, and to get it ready for 2016, which in 2016 we have another $100,000, and we'd like to take the whole $100,000 and put it into out of competition blood being drawn and sent to the lab for testing for the New York Cider Stakes. So that's kind of like what we want to do with 2015 and 2016.
So you'd be fully using the funds for 2015.
Yeah, we'll 2015, we can
accrual at the end of the year, and then we'll have it there for research.
And then, yes, it'll be there so he can research this through the winter, and then come spring, we have another $100,000, and we're going to be kind of like partnering up with the Gaming Commission, working together with them, which we've got talks to do and come up with a program where we get the blood drawn and out of competition, working with the Gaming Commission, and we would have the money there to have Dr. Malin test for the drugs that we want tested for or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we still got a lot of talks we want to do with the testing lab and gaming, but I think we've finally gotten someplace. We couldn't do anything because of the contracts weren't signed, but now the contracts are signed. So
contracts are signed now for what duration?
It's from... Well, this will be to
June. Till June of next year.
Next year, but hopefully we won't have this problem next year.
Well, let me understand the budget implications of this. Mm-hmm. If you can walk me through it, we set aside 25, and we have 100.
We had 100, but we were only going to take 25. So now we're going to take...
We
didn't.
We never used it.
But we never used any of it.
We didn't use any of it.
No.
And right now, my year-end budget, or my year-end numbers 2015, are showing that... Theoretically, we are going to spend $100,000. I left it in there. So, if we make an accrual for it at the end of the year, which means we're not going to spend it this year, but we'll make an accrual for it as it was an expense, and then when the next year comes, that's $100,000 in our pocket to use, you know, as you're saying, which is fine.
We have $100,000 disposable.
We do.
We have $100,000 this year, and we have
$100,000 in the budget.
$100,000 in the budget for next year, so we actually have $200,000.
Yeah, $200,000 to play with research and testing.
Yeah. Do we have the flexibility? Initially, he thought on the blood drawn for $25,000, he could do some research. Can we at least allow for the flexibility? I'm assuming he either can or can't use some of those previously drawn samples for research, and possibly he's going to use some of the overnight blood he gets from other places to peek around, which costs us nothing.
Right.
But I think we should give him the flexibility that if he only needs to spend $40,000 on research between now and when we start up, that we can take that money and still use that, whether we need it down the road, for out-of-competition testing, for a person to help with that. Yep. I don't think we need to just flat say that.
Oh, no.
Because that's already four times what we were setting aside to do it last year.
Because what we were going to do is we had a specific drug we were kind of looking at, okay? And we want to still do the out-of-competition. So, I mean, really, $25,000 really wasn't going to get very far. So, by doing this, because one of the things, just talking with him, you know, they all keep about the $10 and this, he doesn't get enough money in his budget to really do what needs to be done down there. I mean, there's two buildings with all the machines, and a lot of them are just, they're just sitting there, you know. And he really needs, you know, one other thing we need to try to do, I don't know if we can do it, but just people in the business, we need to kind of get... and try to get his budget up a little more would help too. You know, not from us, but from other resources. You know, that's one other thing that's hurting us.
And like I talked to Ron, the thing is, once you detect something, and we're also, and this is where you say that gaming can come in and help us a bit, is that currently there's no teeth in our testing.
No.
Currently, if we test and somebody has a problem, their cousin, uncle, brother, friend, or whatever, just starts business right up where they were. Mm. So all we've done is alert people that we have a problem and let them know we're going to continue doing business as usual. Mm. So, you know, if we do this, you're thinking that there is a way, if we, especially on a substance that's not an approved substance, mm-hmm. we have the ability to go after somebody and to investigate beyond the change of just a name.
Yes, because you'd have the Gaming Commission under that of competition rules to be able to do that. But you would still have to enter into a contract with the fund and the drug lab. If it's approved today, then Mark can start that process.
And it's not saying it's the cart before the horse. We don't have to put anything in our conditions. We have out-of-competition testing in our conditions as it is, right?
No. That's one other thing that we are working on. We're going to be
That's the next meeting, but yeah. I'm just saying.
You can add that, but then.
Yeah. We're going to be working on that, and we're going to hopefully have that all in place to add to the conditions in our next meeting.
So the conversation with Dr. Malin would happen before our next meeting?
Well, we would have a contract then. If the board members approved $100,000 and the other $100,000, we would then go to Dr. Malin and work out a contractual agreement with him on how we would use that money. You guys would approve it at the next meeting.
Okay. Can I suggest it might make sense to have Dr. Malin join us at a meeting?
Sure.
That would be an excellent agenda item, I think. It would be informative for me, certainly. I think for everybody. So let me understand.
We could have the next meeting at Dr. Malin's, and you can see the lab.
Okay.
Not the worst thing you ever said.
No. I think Ron, you're going to be there. You're going to be there
Wednesday.
Next day. Wow.
There's WAC committee's meeting.
I mean, you can't imagine when you know, and right here sitting here, and then going down and seeing what's there. It's just, you know, and you sit there and wonder how he actually. So the first thing I walk through the doors, this is. Doc, with $3.8 million, I said, looking at this facility and this equipment, I said, you're spending $2 million before you can open up a drop of blood to test it. And he says, basically, that's about pretty close. So I think this, by giving him this, I know it's not an awful lot, but I think it'll help us when we start next May. And we also, when we go to do our out-of-competition testing, we got to come up with a procedure, which we're going to be working on between now and May, and everybody's input, you know.
That was my next question. You mentioned that all the samples were done the night before.
The night of.
We had drawn.
Huh?
That's the stuff that they have collected.
That's what we got drawn and stuck in the freezer.
So how do we do that differently?
Well, see, what out-of-competition is, we can go to either the racetrack or to a farm, and let's say a horse is racing on Saturday. The theory is that the 5 or 6 days before the race, that's when they're entering these drugs. So we want to go to and test these horses 6, 7 days, whatever we decide we want to do to test it. And that's what they call out of competition testing, because we're doing it not on competition day.
Some of the information, even on if the medication theoretically has left or diminished in the system by race day, the fact that there's a significant difference, I think that's a lot of, you know, what went on in the cycling world, is to be able to map the difference or passport the difference.
See, some of them, like EPO, you have about a 24-hour window from the time that they administer it to the time the test takes test, but that effect on the horse will last on to race day.
Sure.
So that's basically about the only way we're going to start catching the major drugs in the horse's system, because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, if you go through the thing, there hasn't been, you know, basically we're doing a bupivacaine thing, which is about like the NFL testing for aspirin, you know. I mean, it's we need to go to this. We started the TCO2 back, you know, 10 years or 12, 15 years ago when that was a major issue. And it started with the New York Sire Stakes horses, just like we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And I think this has probably been long overdue to get this going. I know I started working on this when Dan Hogan was the chairman of Racing and Wagering at the time, which is probably 5, 6 years ago. And he sat down, and it's just taken us 5 years to finally get it to this point. So I'm a little disappointed we didn't get to it this year, but, you know, under the circumstances. But I think after talking with Ron today, I think gaming's on board, and I think between all of us putting everything together and getting the legal to make sure that we got our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and I think we'll be in good shape next spring to start this.
And I think to make that money stretch, again, a lot goes to what we can legally do and what gaming will support us. If we can take a more surgical approach to how we're going to test these horses as opposed to a shotgun approach, our dollars are going to go a lot farther. We got to know what we're looking for and how to find it. And then if something seems unexplainable, then we start looking there. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as that's within our rights, we have a chance to move the needle enough to maybe get everybody's attention. But I think just, you know, the way testing is normally done, where you just test for everything on everybody, we're coming up on nothing. Yeah. And there's just no teeth in it.
I mean, the drugs that are out there, they know what they are, but they just have to come up with a test for it.
And it sounds like we need that conversation with Dr. Mayle. Yep. So we're all
sure. We'll have him at the next meeting.
Do that.
Yeah. Yep.
So from Roger's standpoint, we have 100,000 that we did not use.
Correct.
That we're going to allow to stay in the budget, and we're going to add the 100,000 in additional.
Correct.
For 16.
It's in the budget.
It's
already
in the budget. Right. We just approved it.
We had 100,000 labeled 15 and for 16. And again, we're not going to spend it in 15, but we'll make the accrual as if we did, put it on the books for 15. So it'll be money in our pocket to use in 2016. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
And like you said, whether so it all goes to research
or the other thing is you know, if we get everything approved, we can, you know, if you want to spend it out in 15, we can. You know.
No, I understand. No, I understand.
And then from this, once the members approve it, Mark will put a contract together. We'll get it back to you for final approval, and then we'll approve it at the next board meeting.
Either way, it's available for you.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay. We're going to need a motion to do this, obviously. Basically, rolling the 100 into next year and adding 100. Am I correct?
Correct.
We've already passed the sole source resolution for the services at our last meeting, so we just need to determine what we want to do with respect to drug testing and what funding should be made available. So can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we roll the $100,000 we set aside in 2015 over to be used in 2016, along with also, we already have it in the budget, we've approved that, right?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we just need that first part, right?
Correct.
Yep.
And I second it.
Okay, so Mike and Peter second it. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, so carried. All right, item 7 is new and old business. As an update, at our last meeting we discussed the need for a field inspector, investigator, and we noted that the fund's counterpart on the Thoroughbred side, the Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, employs inspectors. Since our last meeting, the staff has met and discussed the position with some prospective candidates. And after reviewing the qualifications, Joel Levison was selected. I think many of you know him from his former days with the Gaming Commission and many years as the Director of Investigations. Mr. Levison was selected on a per diem basis, specifically focusing on out-of-competition testing, including the county fair races, where he's already spent a fair amount of time. He will provide a final report to us by the end of the year on his work, and as we agreed, such work shall not exceed $20,000. So again, that report will be coming.
Yes, we already got a draft this week, and we're just reviewing it and going to go back to him, and then hopefully he'll have that done by the end of November. Okay. But it should be on time for the end of the year with recommendations.
Right, and right now with Joel, we've spent almost $10,000 with the consulting fees he's done so far. I don't know what's left with what he has to do, but so we are ahead of the game on that. Because I know we had said $20,000. So.
Well, we're going to want to make sure that we allow enough time for this next board meeting.
Yes, we're going to need a lot of time.
We've got a pretty packed agenda at this point. Peter, you have some additional business for us?
I don't know if we want to do it now or next, but I just want to, looking on to what we did with hiring an inspector, I'd like to try to have it done again next year or discuss it for next year too, mm-hmm. just to have it on hand. It will help without a competition testing too and other inspections and stuff we need to have done. That's one thing. Another thing, we didn't get into scheduling. I'm going to be leaving December 2nd for Florida to do the Sire Stakes schedule. I will be back on the 10th, So we need to approve the schedule when we do the conditions. So somewhere's from the 11th on, check our calendars for that December meeting. And
summer gets eaten up pretty fast.
Yeah.
I talked to Jackie already about that.
Yeah, I got a date. If we do the 11th, everything else is before the 11th.
Yeah, hopefully your bags arrive.
I got extra clothes. I'm coming home, not going. But that's going on. And speaking of scheduling, I want to talk to Mike a little bit about the finals this year. Last year we broke them up, and we did 2-year-olds 1 week, 3-year-olds the final couple weeks, or a couple weeks apart. I'd like to get everybody's discussion on putting them back to have the Night of Champions all 8 on the same night. I know a lot of people, a lot of the tracks, they liked it better when they were on the same night. So
I think we tried to do something. This was the spawn of a conversation from, I think, Bob Brooks, from trying to help cap the schedule out for the 2-year-olds or whatever else. We tried to accommodate that way of thinking. In the end, everybody hated this. Everybody's begging us not to do this again. And I think it'll be very uncomfortable if we don't listen. I think we have to go back. We took what's usually a really good event, and we diminished it by making it 2 parts. So we need to actually hold the Super Bowl both halves on one day, and I think that's a no-brainer. So I think we have to go back to that. I know also you and I have talked about the date on it. I think we're already getting some pushback, or at least some attention from the Grand Circuit Committee, that they're hoping that we allot, like we did last year, for the horses to be able to race in the jug. I don't know if that's something we can accommodate them with or not, but it's a leg of the Triple Crown held in Ohio. Traditionally, and not every year has been this way, but we would a lot of times come in, even on the tight years, ours would be the Saturday before the jug. So there were horses that raced on our Saturday card even this year. They raced on the Wednesday card in Ohio, some fillies. And I think there were very, very few, if any, colts I can think of, maybe some trotters, that actually raced back on the Thursday after our race. But if we can even schedule it like that, I think it's not really a conflict. I don't know. You know, Pete does a pretty good job with the schedule. Not always. Things are easier to wish for than to do with that thing.
Well, one thing, when we had our last Harness Horse Breeders meeting, I asked the board of directors what they thought. If we try to give the 2-year-olds that same leeway we had last year, it kind of puts the Night of Champions to be that Saturday, 2 days after the jug. So I asked them that, because this is going to be, I know John Campbell's already been on my phone leaving messages wondering when, because he's the president of the Grand Circuit. Harness Horse Breeders' recommendation was that it didn't matter to them if we raced against the jug. They'd rather have, you know, the sire stakes where the 2-year-olds aren't crammed in and this and that. But that's something, that was their recommendation. But what we decide to do, we'll see when we get down there for scheduling. If we go the week before, it's gonna cram up the 2-year-olds a little bit more than we did. They won't get that 10 days apart or 2 weeks apart, whatever. But one other recommendation was to eliminate one of the Yonkers legs, and the 2-year-olds would only race 7 legs instead of the 8. I wasn't in favor of that, because I want to save that leg to be taken away in the future when we need that $1 million or so to be put aside in case our numbers drop when these casinos open up. So
I agree with Pete on that. That's going to be a tricky conversation when the time comes. And,
yeah.
And the less we mess around with something that really, for the most part, is working pretty good, I think the better, because maybe that day doesn't come. But if that day comes, it would be a lot easier having that conversation, not meddling around there.
Not just saying, well, we want to get one leg so we can have the avoid the jug. I mean, I'd rather leave the leg and race against the jug. That
sure.
Year. And I think maybe Mike will know more, but I only think we had one New York bred horse that raced on Jug Day.
The fillies were more.
Yeah.
On Jughead Day, there was quite a few, but like the filly that won it opted not to go to the Night of Champions.
Yeah.
And she was the favorite as a 2-year-old, which was Sasa. But a filly that won a leg, Better and Better, was in the final. Mosquito Blue Chip, she ran in the Elim for the Jughead, but she was in the final.
Right.
You know, the reality is that it, and you know, you could blame it on guys not wanting to invite the toughest guy to the fight, but if you have a horse that really has a shot to win the jug and you want to go to the jug,
you're going to the jug.
You're probably not thinking that much about us. So we're really talking a lot more about the perception and the reality. You know, John Campbell, who, you know, the New York breds have a real place in the marketplace. They're exceptionally competitive horses all over the world. And so he doesn't want to exclude us from that. And that race is held every year on the same Thursday.
Yeah, it's the
but,
yeah.
But I do think that the reality is, I think if a guy really thinks he has to win the jug and wants to win the jug, he's going to say, okay, I would sure like to have come to New York to be able to get a chance to get my a good portion of that $225,000. But we are talking about manipulating the whole program for a handful of horses. Not so much another state, but the Grand Circuit is if it would be the highest level of competition or grade one races. So you could stand on its head and say, well, don't you want our New York horses to have a chance to show off their best against the best horses in the world? And that is true, but I think that after all the posturing and arguing is done, they're going to go anyway. They're going to go, you know, if they want to go to the jug, they're going to go anyway. If they want to use it for an excuse to not have to bang their head and race two heats, they'll stay home and race in New York. And there'll be as many people happy about the conflict. One of the members of the board of Harness Horse Breeders is Ken Jacobs, hates the race in Ohio. You have to race two or even three times in one day. If you're going to keep your horse for a while, there may not be a lot of horse left. So a lot of guys like an excuse not to go. So I think I'd like to ask Peter, if it's possible to make it work, great. If it's not possible, that might be something we can squint and apologize on.
Exactly.
But well, why don't you talk with John, and why don't you guys come
back? Yeah, he'll be there in Florida.
Okay.
So
if it's possible to accommodate it, great, but it sounds like we don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is we're looking at over 1,000 horses nominated to the program, and we're moving, you know, trying to avoid this race for 5 horses out of 1,000 or so.
Right,
so, you know,
exactly.
So you get, you know, when you look at it the other way, you got everybody else saying, well, geez, you know, we're sitting here having to cram our horses in so one or two of these horses at the top level can make both the final and the jug without, you know, so that's kind of the argument that's there.
Now, Mike, you mentioned like not having the finals at Yonkers, doing it on a different track. Is that still an option?
Well, that was my next one.
Well, was it?
That's okay.
I personally think that legally we may or may not have a right to do whatever we want to do with our money. And I think it's our money. Our being our money to oversee that belongs to other people. I think that Pete has done a very good job mending some fences and spreading this money around to make sure no place in the state races for less than $100,000 at any given leg. And I think that's been a tremendous effort. And they have squinted and let him do that, if let is even their position to do. The majority of the money at most of these tracks historically has always been raised for at the tracks. Yonkers is letting Pete move around well upwards of $1 million right now, right?
And about $4 million.
Right.
About half their money.
And they're willing to squint because we don't move this silly final. And the reality is we have a lot of other events, other places. One of the things I really think we could work on to improve our experience, we've talked about a few years, is clumping some of these races together to make event weekends at places like Saratoga or even Buffalo, where if you stay there long enough, there's actually some nice places to go there, instead of running in and out of these places like you're just doing the laundry. If we move the races at Yonkers, we're going to open a can of worms about having some legal action.
Yeah.
And that may not be a problem realistically, but perceptively, every time we talk about that, people don't breed horses in New York, and they don't buy horses in New York. And while this thing mashes around, we're going to hurt our program that we're really supposed to be here to help. And they're looking the other way on $4 million being taken from them and moved around. And we may win the lawsuit, but we're going to lose in the long run for the program. And, you know, one guy will argue this is a better time. One guy will argue they'll bet more money here, which almost neither of those things ever even are true. But I know one thing. If we don't move it, we have a lot of money to move around, and nobody is bothering Peter doing it.
Well, I mentioned
I wouldn't do it.
I mentioned, Ron, this is 2 years in a row, though. You go to their website. They don't even advertise Mega Champions. There's not even nothing there. And I talked to one of the guys down there. I said, why aren't you guys promoting your races? And
But see, here's the other thing.
I don't know why they do that.
We're kind of guilty at. This is one of my next things to talk about is the promotional stuff. When it comes to the Night of Champions, we could be doing something and not wait for Yonkers to do it. I mean, we have money in there, and I don't think we haven't done that much promotion and advertising like we have in the past.
To what Brian says, though, I have no problem shaking them down and telling them whatever. If we can give them an absolutely empty threat that they're on double secret probation. And listen, you guys are going to have to do a better job for us, or we're going to consider doing something else. Why not shake them up a little bit and make them do better? I have no problem with that.
But we haven't done that. So, I mean, that's something that maybe the fund can kind of look at next year when it comes to the Night of Champions.
Because they have certainly the ability to do it when they want to do it.
Well, it would be a win-win. It's in the fund's interest and it's in their interest.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And they certainly have...
What kind of funding is in the budget to do that?
Oh, we got, $30,000 in promotion or something?
Yeah, we got $30,000 in promotion.
Well, that was our next thing. We might as well talk about this.
We got another 20-something in advertising.
Yeah, is our harness racing update. We've always spent $15,000 on a year. They've gone out of business. So there's no longer harness racing update. So... that's something I want to get to in a little bit with Betty. I want to talk about, but I want to finish the scheduling.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I brought up the finals is because, you know, at their last meeting, Jeff Gorrell, you know, he wants them back at Vernon again. So I think for this year, I'd like to stay at Yonkers, but because it's just a little bit too late this time of year to be arguing where the finals are going when I got to do the scheduling in a few weeks. But I think if we are going to talk about moving finals or whatever, I think it should be started, you know, next year early and got the whole summer or whatever. If somebody wants to approach it or whatever or talk about it, discuss it, because it's gonna come up from Jeff. There's no question about that. So, but I think it's just too late in the year to tackle something like this time of year. But it's just something to put in the back of our minds about the finals and.
And should be a spring agenda meeting.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think, you know, it's something that would probably, you know, we've done this before and we got no worse with it, Mike, and right down here, down the road. We put Jeff Gorrell and Bob Galtario in the same room and we come up worse than when we went in, you know. I mean, neither one of them would talk to one another, and basically Mike said more than they did. So, I mean... It's always a tricky thing, but I think it's something that, you know, we can avoid it this year, but I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, we're going to have to bring it up for more discussion next year.
And it's tough. There's so many things going on. Even our Empire Breeders Classic races, which are tremendous races, are not always really well-attended races.
No.
And it's a problem with the ability not to drive 3 hours somewhere and watch something on television and gamble on it on your cell phone. It's hard to motivate people multiple times to go do something. And that's why I really think about any of these events, if we can start scheduling them multiple days and get people stuck somewhere, we've got a better shot at having them actually at the venue. Because it's perceived as very much doing business, not a social event by any stretch at this point.
Well, we'll know about scheduling at our next meeting.
Yep.
And let's make that a spring agenda item.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And our next thing is the consolations. We started consolations last year, or this year, excuse me, this past season we did it. And we had two-year-old events that didn't have enough horses to fill the event, so they were canceled. I'd like, you know, Mike and I have kind of hit on this, but, you know, I know harness horse breeders, I asked them, Bob Brooks, he was, you know, they were all for trying to have the consolations again, whether it's worth having them, whether we should cancel them and not have them. I'd just like to hear a little discussion on that, whether, because we only had 6 out of the 8 that raced.
Well, and here's the thought.
There's $400,000 there, you know, that we...
If we were ever going to move the finals, and the problem is, once we offend somebody, all these creative things that we've been able to do goes like this, because we're all this money we're spending is coming out of that $4 million that we're doing this with. You know, and if it wasn't already their money to start with, you could say we didn't have the consolations, we could save that money, and after 3 years, once every 3 years, move the thing. But it's still coming from that same pool to start with.
Generated.
So it's a bad argument. I think, you know, prior to the not, everybody was sure these races would draw through, even the ones that filled. We were going pretty deep down these lists to like number what, 28, yeah. 30 something at times, to get to these consolations. And
was it a promotion problem or just a lack of interest?
The Excelsior program works so well that the horses very quickly sort themselves out, and the very best horses race for a lot of money, and the Excelsior program is really strong, but the problem very quickly becomes that, you know, the horses that stick around the sire stakes to take that beating, for whatever reason, the people that didn't think they were okay, or maybe their horse started really late in the year and only participated in 2 events, they're really, on the 3-year-old side, they're lesser horses. On the 2-year-old side, they might be horses that got started late and might be good next year. Well, the thinking behind that is, they got a whole next year ahead of them to race in the program as 3-year-olds, so I don't know if we have to have a charity event for them at the end of their 2-year-old year. The 3-year-olds, it's their last hurrah at least, before many of them go to the sale and belong being owned by somebody else. We could do a compromise and have a consolation on the 3-year-olds. They were, I mean, that those were a little closer, right, wouldn't
yeah.
you say?
Yeah. I mean, but we had to, like, we had the 3-year-olds that went to Vernon, we had 9 horse fields, and I mean, we filled them all, but, you know, they were, you know, we had, like I said, we had to go down the bottom list where one horse raced in 1 sire stake and made no money and no points. I mean, that's what we were getting down to, but
what we could do.
I mean, I don't have a problem trying it one more year and then go and see what happens next year. It's I'm just open to.
We use that night as a draw before the sale, also, right?
Mm-hmm.
The consolation night that we had at Vernon's also, in theory, a draw that we put together before.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
before that
yes.
sale, which I think that sale, because of its relationship to the state, is something that we got to continue to try to support. And I think that night puts people there that would never be there otherwise. And so what if...
So even if the downside, if we have to go down deep, it's still worth putting on these races.
But what if we put on better races? What if we took consolations for the 3-year-olds? Because every time we don't spend this money, the 2 that we didn't write saved us $100,000 in our budget, right?
We did.
So it's not like... Make believe, we're putting on these soft races for a lot of money. What if we put a provision in place that said, and we don't have to spend money for the sake of spending money,
right?
We can think of it. But what if we took that money and said, okay, the, because if we don't write 2-year-olds, it's $200,000 we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if we took that money and put on 2 races in open pace, open trot? For aged New York breds at the same place for $100,000 apiece, and you're eligible to the list by money earnings that year, or something like that. Then you're giving Mr. Gorrell 2 outstanding races for New York breds, to race at his track, you're spending the same money, and you can see, look, here's, I know no matter what we give him, he always asks for more.
Yeah.
But we're spending the money on doing something, and if it's by invitation, in order of how we can bang this out later, but if Colts, Phillies, all jammed together, Pacers, Trotters, you can elect not to come, we take the next man back. But for 4-year-olds and up, Pacers and Trotters, $200,000 races, instead of riding 2-year-old consolations, you would really get a chance to show off New York Reds on a big track. Could be a complete mess, but it might be interesting. And I know Jeff really believes in the older racing, right? It would put certain different people there before our sale. And I do think that's an important sale because of the relationship with the college. And
it's nice to open the market to just other than just 2 or 3-year-olds. You know, you're
if,
the whole
if we
the,
did
whole
that,
market,
and, I, and believe me,
to.
The people you know, that own those horses.
How would you go about those 4-year-olds enough? Would they be horses that were sire stakes?
New York, they must have. Well, do we make them New York sire? Do we make them? They must have been New York eligible, paid in New York eligible.
That's what I'm saying.
Because some horses can be New York eligibles that never made a payment.
Right. Exactly.
No supplements. Zero supplements because it's by invitation. The guys that own those horses are not the ones that paid them in. That we know for sure. The people that own those aged race horses, you know. So the only thing we got to think about is we're taking money. It's the exact opposite of what we're being asked for. Everybody that's buying young horses is saying, put more money in 2- and 3-year-old races, not for these overnight guys. The only thing about doing what I just said is you're inviting everybody in the whole world on the other side of that equation to come get your $100,000 race. Mm. You know, so there's certain people you can name that don't buy a lot of 2- and 3-year-olds, that don't really invest in our program, that race horses, that will show up and win those races.
Mm.
You know, which may
thing.
Not be what you're looking
can we
for.
Legally in our rules and regulation, can we really legally put that race on now without changing conditions or something?
I have no idea.
So that's something.
So we have to have Mark look at
it. We have to look at it.
That sounds like a conversation that should include college, it should include Brooks, it should include Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing now isn't clearly accomplishing what you wanted to.
And like I said, we're only a few weeks away, so it's kind of hard to do this. So maybe for this year, we should just go ahead and do the consolations. And
last year was a short sample. People may know if that's there.
They might see what happened, and then we might get a better, just like the first year we did the Excelsior. It took people a while to catch on to the program.
I think that there may be some sense in leaving it the same because, you know, you might see some people, if not stick around in the sire stakes, somebody that's starting late might try to race in there to get some points so that they can race in those. We can see. It's a short sample of one off for sure.
It sounds like probably the thing to do is leave it the way it is, but let's start the discussion now next year.
Okay.
So
that's all I need.
You can make a informed decision at that time. So
and
what about those, all three of those people in the conversation?
Yeah. One other thing I have, I've had a lot. I mean, we attended the meeting in Saratoga with the track owners, and we're talking about the shortage of racing, horses racing, and some of the concerns are a lot of people that say we shouldn't be racing the 2-year-olds, we should be racing 3- and 4-year-olds, and some of them said, well, we'd like to have some age races, like we used to have 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds racing sire stakes. So on my way, I was riding to Vernon one night to race the horse with somebody out driving, so I sat down and figured out how we could do 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds and with the same money that we have, and actually it came out pretty good where we could do that with the money that we have using the same purses. I don't know, I just was wondering if anybody would be interested in trying to look at that for the future. And I'll spend some time while I'm in Florida with Dave Kane. We'll get on the database, and because I was doing estimates on if we did to do this, basically the 3- and 4-year-olds, in my idea, my theory, they would race 7 legs. So theirs would be one of the reasons we'd get rid of that 8th leg. The 3- and 4-year-olds would race 7 legs. The 2-year-olds would race 4 legs at 2. And then you can incorporate if somebody didn't want to race their horse too heavy, they only have 4 legs to race in, because that's basically almost what the 2-year-olds used to race back in 2007 and 2008. They only raced 4 or 5 legs. Race them, and you could incorporate the schedule where if somebody wanted to race their 2-year-old a little more, you got the Tompkins skiers right there at Tioga, you got the John Simpsons coming in to Vern, and so if they wanted to race their 2-year-olds a little more, they could, you could get some of these Grand Circuit events in. But it's just something I threw together because a lot of people at Vernon were, you know, talking to me about, you know, we need older age Sawyer Stakes. I'd rather race a 3- and 4-year-old than a 2-year-old. So it's just something I kind of threw together. If we think it's worth, you know, looking at, or you think we just should leave it the way it is, or, you know, get some more information.
I think the commercial market would revolt against that.
What's that?
I think the commercial marketplace would really be, in the utopian world, I understand the idea of saving these horses, we don't beat them up at 2. But I think the marketplace is so predicated on some return on investment that...
They would get 4 legs plus be able, instead of racing all Sawyer, you'd be able to go to Grand Circuit if they wanted to race them. I think it would give you 3 years to be able to race your horse instead of 2. They wouldn't have to get rid of them at the end of the 3-year-old career. I mean, that's the other side of the coin.
I think there'd be huge pushback against cutting down that many of the 2-year-old races. But the and you know, the 4-year-old events, as a rule, our overnight programs are so strong everywhere. There's, you know, now if they turn the VLTs off, then no, they're not so strong, but then nothing's so strong. So long as we have the money from the gaming, you know, the big push that you hear in most of these meetings is way too much money is spent on overnight races and way too little is spent on stake races for younger horses, and it makes it hard for these guys investing money to get their money back. So this would be very much the opposite of what I'm hearing from people on the other side. You know, and of course, when we did away with the 4-year-old races to start with, it was on the cusp of getting overnight races starting to go for so much more money that it didn't make sense to travel from Buffalo to race for a $20,000 or $30,000 New York Sire Stake race when you can stay at the Meadowlands at the time. Now would be more likely to be at Yonkers and race for an overnight race there with no shipping, no hotel costs, no starting fees, you know. So we really had such poor participation the last time we had the age Sire Stakes races. And then that being prior to the VLT money, we needed the money, so we did away with it. Like we did Breeders' Awards back then. Mm-hmm. We brought back Breeders' Awards. So, but I think overall, the biggest conversations I'm hearing on what to do with any of the money is to take money from some of these big overnight pools and bring it back to the stake races, not to push the money to the older horses. I think that at some of the lower level tracks, the tracks that don't have purses like Saratoga or Yonkers, yeah, they'd like to be able to put something together. I don't know if we couldn't figure out some way. They've got these New York bred races that in some places fill or don't fill. If we could figure out to put some kind of a late closer program on some of those things with a couple of carrots at the end of it, I think that might be better suited than to messing around with a program you created that has really, really exceeded where we were 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, like, every once in a while you stop and realize what you did is unbelievable and not dig around it too much.
Okay. Well, see, one thing I would worry about, what would it do to the yearling sales, you know, when you start?
I think it would mess with the yearling sales pretty significantly.
But, I mean, I just wanted to get your opinion on that. I'm moving on so we can get going. 2 other things I have. One we already kind of touched on is the advertising. Since we don't have Harness Racing Update anymore, that was where we spent $15,000 a year. We've talked about doing a banner at Harness Horse Breeders and going to the USTA website on it. And Betty looked into this, and if we want to have her kind of fill us in on what she came up with.
They have 3 different deals. Probably the one that would be most beneficial for the Sire Stakes program is, it's a banner, it's share space with 11 others, it's on all different pages, which anyone that's racing a horse that goes to enter is going to go to the USTA website. We would probably have more traffic there than anywhere, and you can change them as often as every day. We would upload the file to them, they would put it on the website. It could be linked to the Siren State's website. It could be linked to specific Siren, New York bred races. Say we had a horse that won the jug, if we could link it to there. It's actually very reasonable. It's $500 a month, as long as you provide camera-ready ads, which we could probably provide. I don't know if we would always be able to change them every day, but I would think at least a couple times a week, depending on what news was available. We can do stallion registration ads, yearling payment ads, two-year-old ads, three-year-old ads. Again, any New York breds that have significant wins, Breeders Award amounts.
And it all comes back to your website?
It would go to the Sire State's website.
Right, but it would come back to the Sire State's website. The other thing is, I believe that you can track the usage through their program, correct?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
I'm pretty sure that you can. So over a period of time, we actually get to see how often people are looking at our stuff.
See, the nice thing about being able to change it on a daily basis, as something comes up, like you said, like when it comes time for the Night of Champions, boom, you could really smear it on the, on the USTA, which is probably the biggest. Well, the racing update, I think everybody looked at that, but with that gone, the USTA.
It was just controversial enough that people went to Gwinner to see who was barking at who.
Oh yeah. Well,
but I think it did get a fair amount of response.
Yeah.
But that, the one thing about that is it changed every 5 days. So if you had seen it, you'd seen it. And like Betty says about this, if you go to the entry center of the USTA to enter your horse, there's people going there 2 and 3 times a day. And if you can change it around, they're seeing something different every day, which is kind of a nice way to tell your story. The other thing is, do we have a Facebook page with either organization?
We do, and the phone does.
And is that somewhat well attended, or?
I don't think it's been used at all since Mike has been gone.
I stopped in and looked at it. It's not updated.
It's not very active.
It's there, it hasn't been updated.
No.
I didn't know we had that.
Okay. So that's one thing. If we'd want to do that, I think we ought to think about it. I think it's for the money. I mean, that's $10,000 cheaper than what we paid in Harness Racing Update, and I think it's more advantage to us. So I think that sounds like a good idea. We can think about it and bring it up at the next meeting, and we could start, getting started on it in January, getting ready for the, stallion breeding season.
Do we have the rights to the templates and the stuff you were doing with Harness Racing Update? Bill would give you that, right? Or did you do all the creative on that yourself?
Normally, they'll call up and say that, or I'll call and say this horse won, and they'll put together an ad, send it to me, we'll make whatever changes. Sometimes, there's a big race coming up, we sort of anticipate a particular ad, and it doesn't work out, we kind of a fallback ad. But they're normally just a small PDF, there's no real templates or anything.
There'd be no drag then. You could still have, because the one thing about it, your presence there, with the Apple or whatever you were doing, people kind of knew it was one of our ads.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's bad to find a new space to make sure people know we didn't go away.
It really depends on the size. I don't know 100% what the size is. If we want to try to keep the Apple, we can make the Apple smaller and just include it. I would say if we put in the Apple and the size stays there, depending on the size of the location, you may not have room for a lot. But we can try to be consistent and use the Apple if that's something the fund wants to do.
$500 is cheap, though.
Huh? Yeah,
$500 is cheap if you get a lot of traffic.
And I've advertised in both places.
Oh, that's,
and
how do you measure this? How do you measure success?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm just saying, for all the things that we've done and spent and advertised, that sounds like a pretty fair thing to me.
I wish it was a big enough business where I could tell you that you see people, they actually tell you when they've seen something they like, but it's really not that big a business. So we get a lot of feedback fast, good or bad, but I do think that there is a ability to check clicks and unique,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't think that's fictitious. Yeah. So
well,
I think
we
they
can
give
work about this.
We'll do some.
Figure out how they measure and if they can give us data on who's
volume
and stuff like that. It sounds like, I hate to load up the next meeting anymore, but it sounds like an ad and promotion.
Yeah.
Agenda.
Well,
we generally have one, so we'll have that on the next agenda.
But some homework would be helpful. I mean, advertising is very expensive. It's very hard to measure. So So anything you can do.
We gotta do something.
But something about our Breeders' Awards being paid out sooner rather than later, because people are booking mares. And, you know, that it doesn't take long. And you know, once you've made that decision, a lot of people agonize over it. They've made it. It's done. It's over till next year. So we want to capture as much of that audience as we can.
Not long as you mentioned that. The Breeders' Awards are all set, right?
They're done. We can send them all today.
You can. All you got to do is just start cutting checks, right?
Yeah, it was about 300 or so checks every round.
Well, I know, but you could start the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big undertaking.
I would just like to add, with the harness racing update, that was an ad that came out every Sunday. That was it. There was nothing else unless there was some special feature during the week. But, you didn't pay for that. So you were getting one ad a week. This is basically, you could change an ad 3 or 4 times a day. The USTA is where everyone goes to enter their horses. Everyone goes to see the results. Everyone goes to see any news that's been posted. So our office alone is probably on that website almost all day, every day, for whatever we're looking up. And this is on numerous pages. Right now you're not doing any advertising. The stallion registrations are due now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand you want to wait until December to discuss it, but it is something that you guys really should consider, because the price is very reasonable.
Yeah. Can't beat it.
I'm sure they've got sales material.
They sent it. I had sent it to Peter on the prices and the sizes.
Yeah. In fact, it's on my phone.
Okay.
You sent it here to the fund too, didn't you?
I thought I did, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can tell
you that.
My prior company, we advertised with them a lot. The fact that I'm a director there, I probably shouldn't vote on anything that we do with that.
No, the U.S. Right? Director of the U.S. Yeah.
But I would say that you would find them very easy to work with. And I do think, like you said, you reach a lot of people all the time because they need to go there. They have an online entry process there now. So all the people that used to call the racetracks to enter their horses literally go to their site. So they'll be seeing our advertisements, you know, going when they enter their horses, going when they go to see where the horses got in. So they have a need to look at that site multiple times a day, and so that it does give us very good access.
It sounds pretty good. They may have some other options for us.
They had 2 others. They were just a little bit more money, and it was only on 1 page, but having that multiple pages where people are going to different locations on the site seemed to make the best advertising sense, because again, you can see it on 4 or 5 different pages as you switch from location to location.
Well, forward that if you would, and then let's have something visual to have in front of everybody at our next board meeting. Print off the pages or something like that.
Okay.
Hey, one last item. I've heard that before. We talked about this before. Now that we have our website up and working very well, payments by credit card. We've talked about this a few times, and I don't know if anybody's done anything with it or whether we can do something with it, but I think it would be a good thing to have, especially when people get down on the 15th and we don't have all those people sending the stuff on the 16th. They can always swipe the card on the website.
I think it's the way of the future. It's just a matter of incorporating and making it work. I don't know how we'd make that work.
I just need you guys to tell me how you want to do it. Do you want them to deposit it directly into the checking account? Do you want them to use it with PayPal and they get charged a fee, which otherwise you would have to pay for? Once I know that, we can talk to the programmer about just getting it on the site.
And you know, the other thing you're going to have to do, it's one thing to get the money, but then when you go back and somebody has 6 horses they're training, and they sent you enough money for 5, and they start arguing which one of their 6 horses. So you're going to have to go to all these staking companies who have the programs already. We don't have to create it.
No, we would have to create one, because it would have to be linked to our database, because then they would get a page that only allows them to click on what they're already eligible to.
Right. They gotta. At the time we collect the information or the timestamp on the payment, we also need to have the horse's name linked to that, and what they paid for. Because one thing's for sure, there'll be another group of arguments that come from anything. It seems endless, but it's one step closer to not having those discussions.
Now, if we came up with all this by their December meeting, could that be in effect by February 15th?
I would have to talk to him and see what projects. No, Tracy was just saying that they already do that for some of their payments. We would have to make it a little more elaborate because we have three different levels, and then we have also a supplemental payment. Yeah. So
we also have different levels. Right. We'd go through Skipjack. So every horse, you can do six horses at once, and they can be, one can be a weanling, one could be a yearling, a two-year-old, and a three-year-old. They're different fees. But they're registered by the mayor's name, the year the foal was born, and by the sire. So if you had some other qualification you wanted to be included, you could do that. And we do accept the payments through Skipjack. And once in a while, someone will mail in a check as well as pay through the Skipjack system. And then we, you know, they come to me and they say we received two payments, and then I give permission for them to get paid back. So it's a very efficient system.
The only thing that we'll have to make sure is that we, with the harness breeders, would get notification, because we do get payments for horses that are not eligible. For example, this year we got a bunch of payments for Lucky Chucky and Crazed, and they were both in Pennsylvania. So when these stallions move around, so we normally call up, we tell them, and then we forward, you know, we will fax the documents, and then the owner will have the opportunity to rewrite a check to the right location. But that's something, and again, for us to enter in the program, we would need to get the email notifying us of the payment, and then the fund would already have the money. We would just put them on a list that they were accepted and that they qualified.
Would probably be really beneficial to you if the month before, because then we've gone back and done things in our supplemental things for people that don't realize their horse isn't eligible, or people that make these mistakes, if you make them to be able to use the program, they have to sign up 30 days prior to when the first payments are due.
It's not going to work well. These people do everything the last minute. Well, it wasn't for the last minute.
I'm just
now
saying
get in.
That
that's,
it would make your life a lot
that's
easier.
That's the object of this, of using
but,
this.
But if you do that, then what happens is, when you make those calls to them and tell them where they've messed up and they're not eligible somewhere else, they figure out right off the bat, okay, my horse isn't eligible January 1st. What do I have to do January 1st to not miss the supplemental payment? What do I have to do if I... talking to people in New York and I'm really eligible in Pennsylvania, it would be at least useful and make your life a lot easier if you could encourage people to sign up before the, you know, 4 minutes before they're not eligible.
Well, we could, but again, we have that sale in January. Is it January? The one Meadowlands sale? People are buying the horses the day before the payments are due. You know, and there's no way to really reach out to these people at the last minute. So that would be great to request it, but I think insisting is going to be not worth it.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to work
like
out the kinks.
Sounds like Skipjack's a good program.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'll talk to our web designer and see what his time frame is.
I mean, even if we didn't get the first one, we got it by the April. I mean, at least to get it started, so that way in 2017. We're kind of got all the kinks out and...
Well, we might be able to roll it in for the yearling payments.
Yeah.
It would be good because those are very simple.
Yeah. But I mean, if we can get it started now that we have a website that works.
Okay. And do you guys have a budget on how much you want to spend to do this? Because obviously it's going to take some programming.
I think get some numbers up and see.
Yeah, us some numbers. Let's see where we're at.
I mean, I think we have money in overhead and stuff that we could cover, you
okay.
know.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be that outrageous, but I'll ask them to look at it and look at the website and
yep.
see.
Yeah, let's make an intelligent decision.
Yep.
Okay.
But I think we keep talking about it, but we never get any words with it. But the first thing we needed was a website that wasn't crashing, so we finally got that through and working,
yeah.
so
yeah.
now we can move
that's
on
the
to this step.
No question.
Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. We appreciate that. We're looking at possible dates for our next meeting. I hear December 11th being tossed around. Let's bet.
Jackie was the keeper of the date.
Yeah, I was just trying to
make
sure that
wasn't
good. Did you say the
11th? I'll be back. The first day I can get down here, being 11th. I'll be coming back to Buffalo on the 10th, so.
So
anytime
either the
11th
or the 16th or the 17th, but on the 16th or the 17th, it has to be earlier in the day.
That's fine.
All right. Let's put those. Is the 11th off the charts?
No,
it's
good.
Still 11th.
11th is good. I thought.
16th.
No,
11th, 16th, and 17th are all possibilities.
Possibilities.
Well, let's circulate those three dates and make sure they work for everybody. And get everybody on the same page.
Just make the date and I'll make my schedule to that.
Awesome. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Peter?
Second.
Second by Mike. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Motion is adopted. Thank you very much. Appreciate everybody's travel and time and energy. And it's going to be a heck of an agenda the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've had those before.
We've had those before.
Unfortunately.
We're moving forward.
Where is the Royal Sanctuary? All right.